Don't you want a real and meaningful life? Doesn't everybody? Jesus tells us how. But the thing is, it's sort of an irony. It is an irony. If you're going to have a real and meaningful life, then you need to give up your life. As Pastor Dunn mentioned, the notes for the sermon are in your bulletin, and there's some blanks in there, so I encourage you to fill them out as we go through it. The title for our message this evening is Don't Lose Your Life, from Mark 8, verse 35. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Mark 8, verse 35. And I'm going to read it first from the New American Standard, and then I just want to read it also in the New Living Translation as well, to put a different twist on the text. So Mark 8, verse 35. And these are the words of Jesus. He is speaking to us, and he says, "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it." And then the New Living Translation puts it like this. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and the gospel, you will save it. The context of this verse starts just one verse back in verse 34. And the context is Jesus addressing the crowd and his disciples about what it means to be a true disciple. That's the context. Jesus is speaking to the crowds with his disciples, teaching us what it means to be a true disciple of his. Most people are not willing to give up their life, which means that in the eyes of God, most people aren't going to have real and meaningful lives. And that's the challenge and the call that Jesus brings to us tonight, to give up our lives. Not to hang on to them, but to give them up for his sake and for the gospel's. So the purpose of the message this evening, if you leave with just one sentence in your mind after this, this is the purpose. That you would obey Jesus' call to you, to give up your life for him and for the gospel. That's the purpose of the sermon this evening. There's two main points we're going to look at, as you can see in the outline. And the first is this, how you can lose your life. How you can lose your life. That's the first point we're going to look at. Let me give a brief introduction to this point. And our text being, as we've read, Mark 8, verse 35. Most people throughout history have lived meaningless and worthless lives in the eyes of God. You see, we look at many people throughout history, great people, rich people, famous people, politicians, leaders. And from the world's perspective, they have great lives, significant lives. But the reality is, in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Jesus Christ, most people have meaningless and worthless lives because they have not obeyed what Jesus calls us to in our text here. If we're going to have a real life, if we're going to have a true life, a meaningful life, it's not holding on to it, but giving it up. I have a two-step plan for you if you want to live like the majority and have a meaningless and worthless life. Two-step plan. But in the end, you're going to lose your life forever in eternity. Jesus tells us how we can lose our lives. Again, the context starting back at verse 34, where Jesus talks about true Christian discipleship. If you're in Mark chapter 8, look at verse 34. Jesus summoned the crowd and his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Again, that's the context here. Jesus teaching us about true Christian discipleship, denying yourself and taking up your cross to follow him. So in these two verses, verses 34 and 35, Jesus is teaching us how to have a real and meaningful life, and also how you can lose your life. So there's two sub-points under our first point, two sub-points, and the first is this. How can you lose your life? First, you will lose your life by death. You will lose your life by death. Again, look at our text. Jesus tells us, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Death is certainly in view when we read, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. That's certainly in view here. Death comes to all of us. And your life will soon end. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. James 4, verse 14. You can't hang on to your life. You are going to die soon. That's just the reality. Every one of us in this room, most likely in less than one century, will all be gone. If Bella and Timothy live long lives, they'll still be around. But all of us, in a century, we're going to be gone. And the truth of the matter is, in light of eternity, in light of history, that's a drop in a bucket. Like James 4:14 says, we're simply a vapor. 10 out of 10 people die. Except for Enoch and Elijah. And I don't think we're going to be with that group. 10 out of 10 people die. That's one of the things we say in the streets a lot, you know, to get people's attention. 10 out of 10 people die. And they're like, what? We're all going to die. Every one of us. No one can escape death. The majority of people try to hang on to their life and try anything to prevent death, but all in vain. Isn't that true? All of the medicines and all of the doctors and all of the insurance, that's the way our society runs. Everybody's trying anything to prevent death. Even cloning and transplants and all this stuff. They try anything to escape death, to prevent it. If I could just live forever. But we're all going to die. And certainly in Jesus' view here, when he says, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. Certainly in view here is death. Sadly, even many professing Christians try to hold on to their lives, not living in light of the reality that death is quickly approaching them. That is not proper Christian living. And that's what Jesus calls us to tonight. Don't try to hang on to your life because you're going to die. It is appointed for you to die. Hebrews 9:27. God has set a day for you, for me, for everyone in this room. He's appointed a day. He set a day when we will leave this world, when we will step into eternity. Thinking about death is very helpful. I preached a sermon months ago about death. You may remember. It's very helpful to think about our death. Because when we think much about the day of our death, we're going to live good lives. We're going to live meaningful lives. So many think of the only life that they have is life here. Isn't that true? And this really comes a lot from the teaching of evolution. The only life we have is here. We just evolved, and when we die, hey, that's it. We're annihilated. We turn to nothing. And so many people are deceived by this, thinking the only life we have is here. So, you know, let's just eat, drink, and be merry. Let's make the most of life that we can now. And sadly, a lot of professing Christians live that way. They might not publicly say that, but we can look at each other's lives at times as professing Christians, and we live this way as if this is the only life. But it's not. This is the trial period for you. And if you pass, you can go to heaven. And if you fail, you'll go to hell. Life is short. And if you try to save your life here, you'll lose it in death. So to have a true life, you need to have a life that goes beyond death, which is only found in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is some of the great mysteries and beauties of the gospel. If you're going to have a true life, a real life, a life that counts, it has to go beyond this life. It has to go beyond death. because death is going to take all of us. You know, who really cares how much money you get at the end of your life? You're going to die. And the Bible says that. When you die, you're just going to leave it to the next person. No, that really doesn't matter. If you're going to have a real life, it has to go beyond death, which is in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is where true life begins. John 11, verses 25 and 26, some of my favorite verses in the scripture. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he will die. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And then this is the question Jesus asks us, last part of verse 26. Do you believe this? Do you believe what Jesus says here? Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. But see, you're going to die. But Jesus is saying, yeah, you will die physically. But a true life will go beyond that into eternity. For those of you who are not born again, those of you here who aren't Christians, maybe you think you're a Christian and you're not a Christian. Maybe you know you're not a Christian. Maybe you're young and you're not a Christian. Maybe you're old and you're not a Christian. You have no true life now. The life that you have is a fake life. It's a life you're living in death, the death of your sin, a life that will lead not to just physical death, but to eternal death. That's the life that you have now, apart from being born again in Jesus Christ. You need to be born again through the death and the resurrection of Christ. And my friend, if you're not a Christian, I invite you to come to Christ, that you would have a real life and a life that wouldn't end in eternal death. But secondly, under our first point, the second part of our first point, you will lose your life by living for yourself. So we're still under our first main point here. How can you lose your life? We looked first, you will lose your life by death, but now you will lose your life by living for yourself. Jesus tells you that in order to be a true disciple of his, you must deny yourself. And we see that in verse 34. If you're going to be his true disciple, you need to deny yourself. You need to give up your life. You need to see yourself and your life as not belonging to you. You need to deny yourself. So Jesus is certainly teaching in verse 35, our text, that true discipleship is not living for yourself. Now, before I preach the sermon tonight, if I asked all of us, okay, who thinks living for yourself is good? None of us would have raised our hands probably, because we know better. But think about what Jesus is teaching about denying yourself and not living for yourself. And it's very difficult for us to live that way, as I've said before in my preaching, because of the society in which we live. Living for yourself is pointless. Living for yourself isn't going to get you anywhere, because you're going to die. And when we enter eternity, it's not going to be about you. It's not going to be about me. It's going to be about God. And it's going to be about heaven or hell. So living for yourself in this life, on this planet, in the few short years that you have, is completely pointless. And certainly that's what Jesus is trying to teach us here in our text. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. Living for yourself, not denying yourself, it's pointless. How many in our society live for themselves by living for money, for fame, for sex, for entertainment, etc.? Yet in God's eyes, they've lost their lives. Right? Isn't that true? So many that we see all around us. Unbelievers, the world, Americans all over the place. We don't have to go far at all. People in your family, friends of yours, co-workers of yours, living for themselves. But in the eyes of God, they've lost everything. And I don't want that for you, and I'm sure you don't want that for you. to live for yourself and at the end of your life have nothing to show to God. Are you living this way? That's the question Jesus asks us tonight. He asks you, are you living this way? Are you, am I, living for yourself? And maybe you've never thought about it, or maybe as you start to think about it, you realize maybe I am living for myself. The decisions I make, the things that I do, I am serving myself. I'm not considering God above everything else. I'm not considering Christ and his gospel priority. I am living for myself. Maybe that is you. That's the question Jesus asks you. Are you living for yourself? If you do, you'll lose your life. You are not the end goal of your life. You know, Joel Osteen, you'd never catch him saying that. You wouldn't catch a lot of people saying that. But that's the reality, and you know it is. You're not the end. You're not the goal of life. God is. So to live for yourself will lead to nothing, and even the very loss of your life. God is the purpose of your life, and you are to live for him and not yourself. That is why you exist. That's why you're breathing this very moment, and why your heart is beating, and why God allows you to walk and to work and to come to church. Because you exist not to serve yourself, but you exist to serve God. And if you're going to have a meaningful life, my friend, that's how you get it. Not by living for yourself. Jesus teaches you that to have a real and meaningful life, it is not done by living for yourself. Jesus tells you that you will lose your life if you live for yourself. Now you might be thinking, and certainly our society thinks this way, that doesn't make any sense. If I live for myself, if I work hard, if I get a lot of money, if I have a good pension and a good IRA, if I have a lot of kids and a good family and grandkids, that's life, and I have a great life, and I can take that with me. Oh, well, that's great to have all that. But if that's the way you live, and in the end that's all you have, Jesus says, you've lost your life. Because to live for yourself will lead to that. Non-Christian, if you're not a Christian, if these things mean nothing to you, if you haven't been born again, until now, you have been living for yourself. So that's a good gauge for those of us who desire to ask that question, am I a true Christian? Ask yourself, am I living for myself or am I living for God? If you're not a Christian up till now, you have been living for yourself. So turn away from your self-centeredness. Turn away from your self-absorption and deny yourself and become the slave of Jesus Christ and live for him, and then you'll have a true life. See, we hear all the time about good life and meaningful lives and leaving an impact and things like that. We hear it all the time, the news and the television, and that's good to think that way. God made us to think that way. But if you are going to have that life, a real, a true, and a meaningful life, it is found not by living for yourself, but by becoming a slave of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are Christians, you know better than to live for yourself. For those of us who are Christians, as I'm preaching this even now, you know what I'm saying is true. And you know, of course, to live for myself isn't right. And it is not proper Christian living. But if you have been, then stop and repent and give your life of self-service to live for Jesus Christ. Or give up your life of self-service and live for Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus calls us to as Christians. If you examine yourself, and I hope that you do, examine your own heart and your own life. Is there some degree as a true Christian that I'm living for myself? And if there is, I hope that from this sermon, you will see that and you'll turn away from it. And refuse to live for yourself and to give up your life for Christ. So that's our first main point. How can you lose your life? First, by death. And then secondly, we saw by living for yourself. Now, secondly, our second main point. Hope you're filling out all of these on the outline. If you missed one, just ask me later. I can just give you my notes. Second main point, how to obtain a true life. How to obtain a true life. First, you will obtain a true life by dying with Jesus. Look back at our text. Let's look at verse 34 first and then verse 35. Mark 8, 34. Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone wants to be a Christian, then he has to deny himself. And he has to take up his cross and follow after me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." You will obtain a true life by dying with Jesus. Jesus tells you to take up your cross and to die with him. That's the call of Jesus Christ. You know, that's why we hear here in our church a warning against it, that the easy believism that we hear so often, cheap grace. My friends, it is not easy on the one hand to become a Christian. Certainly it's free. And certainly God saves all those who come to him. But it's at a high cost. And Jesus calls us and he says, if you're going to be a Christian, then he says, you need to take up your cross and you need to die with me. In a very real sense, in a true sense, a Christian is one who has died on the cross with Jesus. And our lives prior to that are dead and non-existent. See, that's how we have to think as those who have been born again, those who have been transformed by the Spirit of God. In a very true sense, we have died on the cross with Christ. And the lives that we had prior to that, that life of yours doesn't exist. It's over. It's gone. It's dead because you died. That's what Jesus teaches us. That's what Paul teaches us. And that will help you, if you're a Christian, to live a true Christian life. Because you'll realize that person that existed before I was born again, they don't exist. I'm not going to live for them because they're dead. I have a new life in Jesus Christ because I died with him upon the cross. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. See, that was Paul's thinking. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see what Paul's saying here? The life which I now live in the body. In other words, the life that I have now after I've been converted, after I've been born again. His view here is that it's a different life. The life prior to that is different, and that life is gone. That life died. But he has a new life, which is alive by the Spirit and by the resurrection of Christ. Galatians 6, verse 14. I put these verses in your notes for you. Galatians 6, 14. Paul says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and by which I have been crucified to the world." See Paul's thinking that when Christ died, Paul says, in a very true sense, I died too. My sinful life, my self-centered life, it died. And it doesn't exist anymore. What does it mean to die on a cross with Jesus? What does it mean to die on a cross with Christ? We're used to that language. That as Christians, we've died with Christ. We're used to that language, especially in this church. But what does it mean to die on a cross with Christ? Well, let me mention a few things here. It means that since Jesus died for all Christians, therefore all died. And Jesus died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. That's what it means to die on the cross with Christ. That because Christ died for you as a Christian, you died with him. And the life that you now live, because you're breathing, your blood's pumping, you get up in the morning, you're living a life. But the life that you now live, you don't live for yourself. So the ideal Christian thought is this. When we wake up in the morning, I'm not going to live for myself. When I go to work, it's not for myself. When I go to church, it's not for myself. I do everything to bring glory and honor to the one who died for me. And I'm going to live for him. What does it mean to die on a cross with Christ? It means that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Your old self died, and your new life is alive in the resurrection of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's what it means to die on the cross with Christ. If you are a Christian, if you've been born again, that's exactly what happened. You were born again. You started a new life, and you are. Not that you might be, not that you're trying to be, but you are a new creation in Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit has regenerated you and given you a completely new life. Not a life that you've fabricated in your own strength, not a life that you're trying to make better in and of your own good works, but you are a new creation because that's what God has made you in the death and resurrection of Christ. And that's what it means to die on a cross with Christ. If you're a Christian, then that's what it means. That's what happened to you when Christ died, even before you were born. That's what Christ accomplished for you, that you would become a new creation. I mean, that excites me. I hope it excites you as a Christian, that you are a new creation. Think of it. When God spoke this universe into existence by his very word, and when he spoke to us through his Son, we became a new creation. And that's why I can confidently say, and I have a conviction to say, that the life you had prior to you being converted is dead. And it does not exist. Because you are a new creation in Christ. It also means that if you're born again, it is because you really died on the cross with Jesus Christ. The person that existed before you became born again is no longer alive. But you completely died and have become a new person in the resurrection of Jesus. I encourage you and I challenge us as a church to think that way as Christians. That the life we had is completely gone. It doesn't exist anymore and we're no longer alive in that person. When you think that way, it's going to help you live a Christian life. Thinking of your old self before you converted. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to think that way or talk that way. That person's dead. They're gone. I'm a new person. So I encourage you as a Christian to think that way. It'll help you live a proper Christian life. So that's what it means to die on a cross with Christ. A brief view of what that means. It is in and through the cross that you have died to the world and to yourself. It is at the cross that you die to yourself. It is when you're converted that you die to yourself. And so we can't be thinking in our minds, and we certainly can't be practicing in our lives, well, I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to do that. I'm going to live this way. I'm going to make these decisions for myself, or for myself as the end goal. A Christian doesn't think that way. If you're a Christian, you died on the cross with Christ. you've died to the world. And you've died to yourself. And that's why Jesus can tell us, if you're going to come after him, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to deny yourself. It's not, well, you know, the super spiritual Christians, you know, they actually get to the point where they can deny themselves. You know, that's some kind of teaching that we hear in America today. And that's not true. Any Christian has to deny themselves. And every Christian will die to themselves and live for Christ. So, if you're going to have a true life, you yourself need to die. Not a normal death, but you must die on the cross with Jesus. That alone is where you will obtain true life. Have you died with Christ? Examine yourself and search your heart and ask yourself this question. This is the question that I believe God wants us to ask ourselves tonight. The question that even Jesus asks us tonight. Have you died with him? And in dying with Christ, dying to yourself. So that's the first thing we're looking at under our second point. You will obtain a true life by dying with Jesus. Now, secondly, under our second point, you will obtain a true life by giving up your life for Jesus. You will obtain a true life by giving up your life for Jesus. Secondly, Jesus teaches us to give up our lives for him. You must stop living for yourself and live for Jesus if you're going to have a real and meaningful life. What we read in our text here, in other words, what Jesus says, is what it means. Jesus demands of you and I to give up our lives for him. Now, you see, we've probably read them. Most of us in this room have probably read this passage a dozen times, 100 times maybe. And we can read through it so quickly. But consider what Jesus is saying. Jesus demands of you to give up your life for him. Just think about that. Jesus demands of us, as his disciples, that we would give up our lives for him and follow him, deny ourselves. That's what he requires. And again, it's not, well, maybe you'll get to that point. You know, you start off as a Christian, still serving yourself, still living your own life, doing what you want. And maybe, you know, if you work hard, you can become one of the great Christians and actually get to this point of giving up your life. You know, it's only the great Christians that do that. No, that's not true. This is the call of Christ to every Christian. If you're a Christian, that's Christ's call to you, to give up your life for him. That's a radical calling, isn't it? Biblical Christianity is. Not so much that we hear on the internet and the TV of this watered down stuff. You know, Jesus is, and if he was here, he would be appalled at the teaching of discipleship here in America. This is why American Christianity is degrading and destroying the real teaching of Jesus. And why many in our society who profess to be Christian are anything but Jesus' disciple. And we need to be different. We need to be Christians who actually care about what Jesus says. And that's what I hope I am. That's what God hopes of us. That we as a church would consider carefully the words of Christ. And what he tells us here in verses 34 and 35 of our text. Why would you give up your life for Jesus? Why would anybody do that? I mean, that's nonsense, right? I mean, that's crazy. Who would do that? Why would you give up your life for Christ? Let me give you a few reasons. Because Jesus is the greatest man who ever lived. How about that for a reason? People want to live for great men, right? I mean, think of the people who followed Hitler. I mean, he was one of the most evil men in the world who ever existed. And everybody followed him. They considered him a great man. Think of the people who follow the president as a great man, and they follow him. That's the way people want to live their lives, following great people. Well, how about this for us? Let's follow the greatest man who ever walked this earth, who ever lived, Jesus Christ. Why would you give up your life for Christ? He is the greatest man. And he is worth living for. He's the only one worth living for. You're not worth living for? I ain't worth living for. Nobody's worth living for. But Christ is worth living for. If you want a reward, if you want to have something at the end of your life to look forward to, if you want to have God receive you on the judgment day positively, then Christ is worth living for, because there is a reward to serving Christ. There's not really much reward serving Bill Gates. There's not much reward serving Obama. But my friends, there is a reward for you, I guarantee it, when you serve Jesus Christ. There's a great reward. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8? He's about to die. He's lived his life. He's faithfully served Christ. He's been tortured and beaten and everything. And he knew it was worth it. Because he could say in that verse, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, that he had a crown of righteousness that was waiting him. I hope that's what you want. That's what I want. That when we stand before Jesus Christ, he will not be ashamed of us. And we will not be ashamed of him. But we will realize on that day fully that he was worth living for. My friends, there is great reward serving Christ. Why would you give up your life for Christ? Because of that. Why would you give up your life for Christ? Because he can save you from your sin and from hell. Who else can do that? Nobody. You can't take away your own sin. You can't deliver your soul from hell. No other religion in this world can do that. No other religious leader who's ever lived in history can do that. You know why it's worth living for Jesus Christ and giving up your life for him? Because he can save you from sin. And he can save you from the flames of hell. That's why it's worth giving up your life for him. You know, one of the things we say in the streets a lot as well, similar to what I'm saying in this point, you go to the grave of Muhammad and you'll find bones. And you go to the grave of every pope that's ever existed and you're going to find bones. You go to the grave of Mary, you're going to find bones. And Buddha and all of the other great religious leaders. You know what you're going to find in their grave? You're going to find their bones. But you go to the grave of Jesus Christ and you're not going to find bones, because he has risen. My friends, he can save you from your sin. And if you're a Christian, he has saved you from your sin. And he saved you from hell. And if that doesn't encourage you to give up your life for him, then nothing will. But if you're a Christian, you want to give up your life for him, because he's your Savior. Another reason why you would give up your life for Jesus Christ, sort of in a humorous way, but also in much sincerity, because he can give you your best life now and in eternity. See, Joel Osteen, he never adds that part. He's going to give you your best life now, even if it's suffering, even if it's trouble, even if it's difficulty. The best life you're going to have now is the life that you can have by giving up your life and following hard after Jesus Christ. That's the best life you're going to have now. Your best life now isn't serving money, isn't serving your job or serving yourself or anything else in the American dream. Your best life now is dying for Christ and giving up your life for Him. That's the best life now. And the great thing about that as well is it leads to your best life in eternity. So there's a few reasons of why someone would give up their life for Christ. I think they're pretty good reasons. What does it mean to give up your life for Christ? What does it mean to give up your life for Christ? It means that you don't make life decisions with yourself as the end. But isn't that what we do so often? The life decisions. I'm talking about, you know, major decisions in life. Not about, you know, which shoe am I going to put on first. You know, forget that. But major life decisions. Isn't it true that so easily the tendency is to have ourselves as the end in view? Okay, well, let me take this job because, okay, over this job, it pays better, closer to home, it's better commute for me. Now, certainly, some of those things are fine. But major life decisions, yourself should not be the end. You're not the end of those decisions. What does it mean to give up your life for Christ? It means that those major life decisions that you have and that you make throughout your life, what job you take, what church you go to, where you live, what school you send your kids to, what you're going to do with your life. You don't answer those questions with yourself as the end. That's what it means to give up your life for Christ. You make those decisions as if Christ was staring you in the face and saying, okay, I'm waiting to hear your decision. That's how you make those decisions. But isn't it true that so often we don't? And it's the deception of our society. It's the deception of Satan that wants us to make decisions not with Christ as the end, but with ourselves as the end. It also means that you are Jesus' slave and you must do what He demands of you. That's what it means to give up your life for Christ. It means that you're His slave. That's the terminology that the Scriptures use. When Jesus says here in our text, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the Gospels will save it. What does it mean to give up your life? It means you become the slave of Christ. Now, yeah, I know we have bad pictures and ideas of slavery because of our history. But I think we all have a good idea of what it means to be a true good slave. One who doesn't own themselves. One who doesn't make decisions for themselves. And that's what Jesus calls you to. He says, I invite you to come to me. I will give you eternal life. I'll save you from sin. I'll save you from hell. But you have to be my slave. And how many in our society, like the rich young ruler, said, nah, I'll take a pass. I hope that's not you, and I hope that's not me throughout my life, but that we would be the slaves of Christ. It means that you don't live for the satanic deception of the American dream. It is a satanic deception, because Satan's going to try to do anything to keep you, if you're a Christian, from living a good Christian life. And if you're not a Christian, Satan's going to do everything and anything to keep you from getting to heaven and to drag you into hell. And he does it, one of the primary ways he does it here in America is by having people live for his deception of the American dream. And so many that we see all around us, and to some degree, we've all been affected by this, by living for the American dream. No wonder, as we read this morning, one of my favorite passages says the gospel was preached to the poor. Many poor people are saved, but many rich people aren't. And certainly here in America, Satan's deception of the American dream is one of those reasons. And it means also, as Jesus has taught elsewhere, that your love for anyone else is nothing in comparison to your love, your loyalty, and your devotion to Christ. And I've told people this from time. I've told people this at different times. You live your life as a Christian. People are offended. Everyone's offended for, you know, all kinds of reasons in life. You go to work, people are offended. You go to church, people are offended. In your family, people are offended. That's just life, right? We all know that people get offended. You try your best to please people, and they're going to be offended. But listen, since someone's going to be offended, you better make sure it ain't Christ. Someone will be offended. And you don't say, well, you know, we'll just forget about Jesus for today. We'll let him be offended. You know, because I want to make this person happy. And I want to get my raise. And I want to do this. And I want to, I'm not going to offend my boss. I'm not going to offend my spouse or whoever. My friends, do not live that way as a Christian. Someone is going to be offended. It's going to happen. I mean, that's just the way life is. But you better make sure it is not Jesus. So that's what it means to give up your life for Christ. And now finally, under our second point, we're still under our second main point, how to obtain a true life. Thirdly, you will obtain a true life by giving up your life for the gospel. Look one last time at our text. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. One of the reasons I picked the text in Mark is because the other gospels don't add this part, the gospel's sake, for the gospel's sake. But Mark did. He said, if you lose your life for my sake, Christ says, but also for the gospel's, you'll find it. And I like that. Lastly, Jesus teaches us that in order to have a true life, a meaningful life, we must give up our lives for the gospel. Think of living for the gospel as devoting your life to a cause. All right? Most people devote themselves to a cause. Don't you want to have your life devoted to the greatest cause? To the gospel? Right? And there's causes for everything. You go on Facebook and, you know, join this cause and let's get a group of people together for this and let's raise money for this and let's get all these votes for this. And, you know, we know all about that. Living for a cause, devoting your life to a cause. Think of living for the gospel, what Jesus says here. Think of it as devoting your life to a cause. The cause of the gospel. And my friends, that is the greatest cause. Now, why wouldn't we want to be devoted to the greatest cause, to the gospel? Now, why would we be sidetracked to be devoted to any other cause in terms of devoting our life to it? Yeah, of course we can be engaged in different causes. But in terms of devoting your life, the sum and substance of your life, what cause are you going to devote it to? The greatest cause is the gospel. And I challenge you to do it. And Jesus calls you to do it. What is the gospel? You know, I just realized this clock is broken, I think. So, you know, I have no idea what time it is. Hope I'm not going too far over. Or maybe the second's just going by really slow. You're all thinking, oh, great. You know, but I only bring one sheet of paper with me. So, you know, it's not too bad. Okay. Before I continue, let me just quickly summarize. What is the gospel? You know, Jesus says here in our text, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will find it. Well, what's the gospel? And certainly, we hear all kinds of crazy things in America. What is the gospel? I wrote down three brief points. Now, certainly it involves more. But if we can think of the gospel in a nutshell, think of the gospel briefly. This is what I wrote down, and I put it in your notes to help you. What is the gospel? The full, just, and holy wrath of God the Father was poured out on Jesus so that it would not be poured out on you forever in hell because of your sin. That is the gospel. Jesus was punished for you, for your sin, instead of you. He suffered the punishment of eternal hell for your sin. So that you would not die forever in hell, but have eternal life with God. No wonder it's called good news. My friends, that's the greatest news in the world. You know you're a sinner. We all know we're sinners. No matter how hard people try to suppress the truth, they know they're running from God. And the greatest news for every one of us in this room, for everyone in this universe who's ever lived, the greatest news is the gospel. Isn't that good news? That Jesus died for your sin so that you wouldn't have to. On the cross, Jesus took your sin upon himself, and God punished him for your sin. You deserve punishment. You deserved hell because it's your sin. But Jesus took your sin on himself. And he paid the price for your sin. And Jesus gave you his perfect righteousness in order that God would accept you as perfect. You gave Jesus your sin and he gave you his righteousness. That's the best trade I've ever heard of. And then God can accept you as perfect. The only one God can accept is someone who's perfect. He can't accept us as sinners, but because of the gospel, we're perfect because we're in Christ. And you benefit from all of this by faith. Now, we would be thinking, okay, you benefit from all of this by, man, I got to give a lot of money to the Catholic Church to get this one. You know, I need to do whatever. I need to work so hard. I need to get my way to heaven because of this good news. That's what religions teach. Every religion but the true religion which is found in Jesus Christ. And he says, I've done all this for you. I am your God and I've done this for you for free. And if you would put your faith in me, you benefit from it all. That is the greatest news in the old world. And that is the gospel. So why would you give up your life for the gospel? Because living for the gospel is the only life that will positively impact your eternity. Nothing else is going to positively impact your eternity except living for the gospel. All of your so-called good works that we think, you know, I'm pretty good, I did that. All of that's rubbish. Remember what Paul says? The only thing that will positively impact your eternity is giving up your life for the cause of the gospel. Because it is only through the gospel that sinners are born again. And this is the world's only hope. The only way sinners can be saved is through the gospel. That's why it's worth giving your life up for the cause of the gospel. Because if anyone's going to get to God, if anyone's going to get to heaven, it's through the gospel. And so you better devote your life to the gospel. Because that's this world's only hope. The world's only hope isn't giving people clothes, though that's great. And helping people with food, though that's necessary. And doing all many good works in the name of Christ, which we must do. But the only hope for sinners is the gospel. And because the gospel is what matters to God the Father, and it's because of it is what Jesus died for. Wouldn't you want to give up your life for that? The gospel matters to God. The gospel is what Jesus died for. I'm going to sign up for that. I'll devote my life to that. If it matters to God, it matters to me. And I hope it matters to you. What does it mean to give up your life for the gospel? It means, first of all, that you need a proper and biblical understanding of what the gospel is. I gave you a quick summary, those 3 points we just looked at, a quick summary of what the gospel is. But if you're going to devote yourself to the gospel as you should, and what Jesus calls you to, you need a proper understanding of the gospel. Again, we live in American society where people have for the most part, have no idea what the gospel is. They have no idea about what Christ accomplished upon the cross. And the fact that it wasn't the Jews that killed him, or the soldiers, but it was the wrath of the Father that fell upon him. You know, very few people know that. You need to understand the gospel. And if you devote your life to understanding more of the gospel, you've devoted your life to a good cause. It also means that if programs and ministries should exist, they exist for the gospel to take full priority. See, programs, ministries in church and parachurch organizations, they're great. I'm not against them. But if they exist, they exist that the gospel should have full priority. We don't deceive people by, you know, giving them soup in the soup kitchen and think we're being good Christians. And we never give them a Bible or a tract or never even mention the name of Christ. They're going to go to hell with a bowl of soup. If these ministries exist, and they should, they exist for the gospel to take full priority. It means that you should speak the gospel to those you come in contact with. Don't be afraid to speak the gospel. Open up your mouth and speak it. As we just saw, it's the world's only hope. You have something, like Paul said, that he was a debtor. You are a debtor to those who walk by you. We heard about that this morning. Speak the gospel. That's what it means to give up your life for the gospel. Part of what it means. And it means that you should see your life not to be lived for yourself and your own ends, but entirely for the cause of the gospel. That means when you go to work, when you're being a husband at home and a wife at home and a father and a mother, when you're being a kid in your home, when you're going to school, when you're living your life exists to be lived out for the cause of the gospel. That's a great avenue to get the gospel through your life. Does this describe your life? Ask yourself that. Seriously, ask yourself that. Does what we've gone through this evening describe your life? Have you given up your life for the gospel? How sad it is that so many live for what does not truly matter. You know that's true. We see people walking by us, maybe even you, living life for what doesn't even matter. If you're going to have a real life, it will be by devoting your life in its entirety to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, let me just mention quickly a few points. Again, I have no idea what time it is. This doesn't look good. In conclusion, Jesus is calling you to action. And we heard that again this morning. I heard it. Calling us to action. We're not Christians that, well, you know, we come to church and, whew, kept this pew warm today. You know, that ain't Christian life. We come to church, we read the Bible to obey what Jesus says. And listen again to what he says in Mark 8, verse 35. He calls us not to hold on to our lives, but to give them up. He's calling you to action. He's calling you to think different, to live different, to make better decisions for your life. He's calling you to do something. So I challenge you to do something with what you've heard here, from the challenge that I hope Christ gave to us. Do something. Take action with your life. If you don't obey his words and do what he says, then in the end, your life will amount to nothing. See, we could dismiss and be like, well, yeah, I'm not going to do anything. Plenty of people do. But if you do that, your life's going to amount to nothing in the end. So this is the issue. This is the issue. Are you going to try to hold on to your life and pursue what you want and live for your own goals? Or are you going to obey Jesus' call to you and give up your life for Him and for the gospel? That's the issue. Let's pray.